not the fact that millennials bought into it, but the fact that they did this knowing that it, like you said, leading right up to it, they knew it wasn't going to work out, and they still knew that they could capitalize on...
One word comes to mind.
That.
Greed.
Yes. Precisely.
Why didn't they have the camera crews there to film the carnage?
Because at least then the greed...
He would have been
in the black,
not the
red.
Because let me tell you something. As soon as those influencers see cameras on the beach, all is forgiven. Oh, I get to be on television? I'm a YouTuber. I'm on Instagram. They would have lapped it up. They would have been like, this is the best thing ever.
Oh, my God. Look at the boobs my mom got me for graduation.
WMFO Medford.
Sorry, I just had to do that.
In technology news, a machine beat a man once again. Google's AlphaGo, a neural network designed to play the ancient Chinese game, won the first of its three matches against world number one Qi Jai by a fraction of a point. Jai, who offered to challenge the machine last year after it beat Grandmaster Lee Sedol, was humbled after his first encounter, telling reporters, quote, last year it was still quite human-like when it played, but this year it became like a god of Go, end quote. Ji will have two more attempts to defend the value of humans on Thursday and Saturday.
Weird. Machine beat man.
Not looking good for mankind. Crazy. In this one. We're just going to point that out.
And so it begins.
Yes. Yes. The machines do everything better than we do. We are no longer necessary.
It's really interesting, though,
working?
About this. The machine learned to play, of course, this very complex game that I can not even figure out by analyzing 300 million moves by professional Go players. And it's crazy how a computer in a short time can understand all that, compute that, and then translate it into action.
It's actually two neural networks, one that figures out the moves and the other one that figures out who is winning. So you're really playing two machines in this whole thing.
The tiny light of hope in that, though, is that both of those things rely on men for it to be possible. Those moves would not exist were it not for men, at least right now.
Women play Go.
I'm saying men in the human sense, not in the...
Oh.
Humans. Sorry, I'm not anti-feminist. Play the music.
There's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather.
Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Tonight, lows in the low 50s. Tomorrow, rain. Highs in the mid-50s, lows around 50 degrees. Friday, rain. Highs in the mid-50s, lows around 50. Saturday, partly cloudy, maybe a little rain. Highs in the lower 60s, lows around 50 Saturday night. Sunday, little rain. Highs in the mid-60s, lows in the mid-50s, and Monday, rain. Highs in the mid-60s, lows in the mid-50s.
I told you once.
Is that the most times you said rain in 30 seconds?
Sound familiar?
After April, what did I say to you?
Getting repetitive, rain.
Rain, 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 rain.
You can say showers in April. May, all I want to hear is sunshine,
yeah.
Flowers.
Well, you ain't getting it. Saturday's...
Thanks, Derek.
Saturday's your winner. Saturday's your day to go out and do the yard work, and then the rest of the weekend, stay in. Go to the movies. Lord knows Hollywood needs your help. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week here on WMFO Medford?
Have you ever noticed a number and a shield along with a quality grade mark on the meat you buy? Well, that's the yield grade. Although the yield grade is important to the retailer, you don't need to be concerned about it unless you're buying a large cut of meat like an untrimmed wholesale cut. The yield grade tells you how much usable meat you will have after the waste is removed. A yield grade 1 has the most usable meat and a yield grade 5 the least. To learn more, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, 20250.
When you get bumped on a racetrack, the key is to stay in control.
NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace.
Same goes for the highway. That's why professional truck drivers need to buckle up every trip, every time. Your safety belt can keep you in position behind the wheel and in control, looking out for yourself and everybody else. That's what a professional driver does. So be ready, be buckled, and remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
My
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols. She is Chase Blaine. And he is Derek Gary. We are here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9, as always. You can be a part of the show, and you do that by giving us a call at 855-915-9636. Again, that's 855-915-9636. It's that part of the show. Did you hear all those other stories that we think are important? And the way that we tell you about it, we kind of quiz each other on see who was paying attention. One word, two words. Gets interesting now that we have three people. Mm. As always, I will start. My friend and yours, Anthony Weiner.
Did that happen this past week?
It did.
Anthony Weiner has pled guilty to sending pictures of his junk to a 15-year-old girl.
That is true.
It's way too awesome that his name is Weiner and he did that.
And and will only be serving probation. Well, actually, we don't know. They haven't sentenced him yet. He's facing potentially 24 months in jail. He has had his cell phone taken away from him, and he has been barred from any further contact with that minor, or we would assume any others. And Huma filed for divorce.
Yeah, back in, everybody I'm sure will remember, in 2011 when he was married and forced off of Capitol Hill for that crotch shot that we all saw.
The crotch shot heard round last the world.
Last year it came out that he was sexting a teenage girl. He reportedly checked into rehab. After that, he was soon out. FBI launched a month-long investigation. He said, quote, as morally wrong as it was unlawful. Now he has to register as a sex offender, and as Derek said, could go to prison for many years.
TSA.
Transportation Security Agency, those guys?
Really well done, but what about them?
The TSA. My gosh.
What did they do wrong this week? So many things, always.
This one was particularly annoying, though. Well, the Transportation Security Administration, which is actually what they're called, is testing tighter screening of carry-on bags at 10 U.S. airports with the potential to expand the procedures to other airports around the country. And Logan International Airport is included in this.
I believe the tighter screening involves unpacking everything that's in your bag.
It does indeed. travelers will be asked to place electronics larger than a cell phone, so, you know, every electronic, in a bin separately for X-ray screening. TSA officers may also advise travelers to place other carry-on items separately in a bin. In short, the TSA believes this could be a more effective way to detect potential problems by placing these items in separate bins for screening. The move to consider tighter screening procedures comes as the Department of Homeland Security weighs extending a ban on customers carrying laptops on flights from the U.S. to Europe and vice versa. Such a decision would impact millions of people who travel on transatlantic flights every month, my brother included.
I don't know what is so alarming about myself. I always seem to be stopped for some reason. I don't know if it's the non-threatening look that I have or the maybe your blind bride, the bronzer that I wear. But yeah, I always seem to be pulled to the side, my bag ripped open, and I'm like, no, that's not any explosive liquid.
It's just a bunch of vibrators.
That's just my 24-hour...
Don't pack your vibrators, kids. Don't pack your vibrators, because the TSA is going to be getting their hands on them. I told you what happened when I flew down to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I had a tiny piece of foil from a cigarette pack in my back pocket that I did not know was there. I set off the metal detector. Hilarity ensued.
Oh, man.
They're just angrily waving his sneakers.
They were, like, not happy with me. They were not happy with me at all. And I'm like, what? No.
Yeah, you were going to shine that small piece of foil into, you know, the sunlight when it was rising and knock out the...
It's to the
I don't know.
It's to the point where it's... I mean, yeah, I'm all in favor of national security, but it's gotten to the point where, like, how much of this is actually that effective anyways?
No, I mean, I'm somebody now that has learned I only do carry-ons. I squeeze as much as I have a lot of makeup and clothes. I do squeeze in because the fees are astronomical now.
Oh, absolutely.
I understand by taking that risk that I am going to be searched more, or my bag is going to be scrutinized more for security checkpoints. You know what? For an extra 30 minutes of my time, it's fine. I don't want to pay the $50 each and have the probability of losing my suitcase and my luggage. So, yeah, I will have it right on my side.
Well, it does. When I was flying back from San Francisco once, my cousin lives on the coast of San Francisco, and sand dollars wash up. So I had a carry-on for the same reason. I didn't want to pay the crazy fee. So I collected a couple dried-up sand dollars that were on the beach, and they stopped me at the TSA saying I couldn't bring them through.
They're like, that is food.
I was like, am I going to seashell you to death? Like, I don't understand.
They have no sense of humor.
Yeah, no, they did not. That's how you get strip searched, none, ladies and gentlemen.
Fortunately, the guy that was dealing with me ultimately realized that I was pathetic and didn't travel much and finally took pity on me.
I
was
like,
all right, you're okay. Just get out of here. Don't do it again. Ballard.
Ballard?
Ballard.
Ballard.
Like a baller, ballard, but like as like a past tense verb?
No. Ballard.
Oh, like a name.
Ballard.
Ballard. I can't get it out of my head as a past tense verb.
Ballard.
Ballard.
Ballard. Ballard?
Yep.
It's a
thing.
Thing. A person.
It's a thing. It's not a person. Thing. It's a thing.
It's not a person.
Ballard.
Ballard.
Is it a product?
They were manufactured.
Can you wear it?
No.
I have no idea.
Is it that
Ballard?
It's not the ADD. No, that's a different story.
No.
That's something that I
have. Ballard. Nope. Nothing.
That's what saved Ballard. Untold injuries and lives in Times Square last week after Richard Rojas decided to commit suicide by cop by speeding along sidewalks in Times Square. For those of you who have seen all of the closed circuit video, which I've seen all of it, it is very clear that he had no idea there were bollards on the sidewalk.
Oh, bollards.
He saw,
yes, okay.
He saw people standing there and attempted to hit them and instead hit that thing at full speed.
Which is specifically made for something not to be able to get through it at full speed.
That's exactly why they're there. These things are cheap. They should be on every street corner. They should be on every street corner in every major area. In the world.
When I heard this story initially, I thought exactly what had happened in so many of the terrorist attacks. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
You're thinking Nice.
And most recently, I was in Times Square during St. Patrick's Day, which I will never do again. But there are always so, so many people in Times Square.
Yeah.
And during that time, I was overwhelmed. You couldn't move anywhere. Yeah. And to think about if you have a car going full speed, just like the story we covered a couple of weeks ago where the man in the automobile auction careened into many, many people and ultimately into the wall on the other side, you can go upwards. You don't move that quickly in New York traffic, but if you're going on the sidewalk and you just have people in front of you, you're going to get up
there. Well, this guy,
especially if you don't care about who you run over.
The video clearly shows this guy's first in line at an intersection. He bangs a U-turn and goes straight onto the sidewalk and starts taking people out. And he's accelerating as he goes. So
That's no mistake.
We've got ISIS. We don't need this clown.
Hair braids.
Hair braids.
Hair braids.
Mystic Valley Regional Charter School will allow two of its students, who happen to be twin sisters, to continue wearing their hair braids. They had been told that they were suspended because the school felt that the hair extensions, the hair braids, were a sign of affluence that would make the Poe kids feel bad. These two students happen to be black, and they said they were being targeted and singled out because they were black. And they prevailed, and the people who suspended them in the first place are a bunch of freaking idiots.
Mm-hmm. The American Civil Liberties Union also filed a complaint against the school with the State Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, saying that the rule was discriminatory. So there were multiple levels of them being under fire. Local news really put it to them.
Well, it's... I always think that things like this are very, funny is the wrong word, but just, comical. Just, because I remember when I was in school and it was, you can't wear like spaghetti strap tank tops. And like that was.
Yeah, no, I mean, what you have in today's day and age though, it's something you did wrong, which is completely stupid, but then it instantly turns to racist.
Yeah.
Everything's racist.
But this was a stupid policy in the first place. That's what I'm saying. It's stupid action, which shouldn't even have happened. Who cares?
But then it's instantly.
Like, who cares if the Poe like kids policies, feel bad? They should feel bad. They're Poe.
Yeah. Like policies against like having cleavage showing, having, you know, having something that's going to be distracting.
I can understand that because that leads to sexual assault by teachers.
No, but that's understandable. But something like this, it's like, oh, the poor kids will feel bad. I was from Quincy and went to school with a bunch of rich girls and had to have one compare her real Prada bag to the one I got on Canal Street in New York for $20.
Yeah.
Like, poor kids are going to feel bad no matter what.
Yeah. They're conditioned to feel bad. Everybody gets
an award now. It has to be all equal.
Well, it would just be as though it would be as like when I was in high school and I would straighten my hair. If somebody was like, oh, you can't straighten your hair anymore because some people can't afford hair straighteners. It's like,
because
that's
we grew up and lived in a day and age where people weren't complaining about everything. We lived in a day and age where it wasn't, you're making Tommy feel bad because of what you said. It's these poor little snowflakes that don't want to have their feelings hurt.
You know what should happen?
And everybody should be equal.
You know what should happen? Poe kids should stop wearing pants. I'm calling all the Poe kids, stop wearing pants at school.
And now you're getting back into the sexual assault from teachers.
And then
when the teachers
say, why aren't you wearing any pants? You say, it's because I can't afford any. And the kids who can wear, and the kids who wear pants make me feel bad.
Or better yet.
Come on, kids. Power's in your hands.
Better yet, the rich kids should have to donate their braids to make the poor kids' pants.
Nobody wants braid pants.
Yeah, I know. The minute it came out of my mouth, I felt really awful.
Bad idea.
Okay, my turn. Let's see. I'm going to say drug counselors.
This is one of those clues that falls under the category of vague. I used to give you hell about stuff like this.
Drug counselors, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania drug counselors.
This is a big story.
Mm.
Where?
Nationally.
Was it?
Pennsylvania drug counselors. Pennsylvania. I heard something vaguely Pennsylvania. I don't remember what it was.
Two counselors at a reputable addiction treatment center in Chester County, Pennsylvania, died of opioid overdoses Sunday afternoon,
according to
a statement issued by Chester County District Attorney Tom Hogan.
Which center did they work for?
First responders. I'm getting there. First responders found the counselors in separate rooms at the Freedom Ridge Recovery Lodge in West Brandywine Township, Pennsylvania. Both were unresponsive. Needles, baggies, and cigarettes littered the scene. The counselors each tested positive for heroin and fentanyl. Residents at the facility, both counselors and patients, attempted to revive the counselors using naloxone, which reverses the effects of an overdose if administered immediately. Pennsylvania has a standing order that was issued in 2015 that requires every pharmacy to dispense naloxone or Narcan to any patient who asks for it without a prescription. So this is, I recognize that the reason this piqued my brain is because I remembered this place from the show Intervention, because it's a place that they are sent.
It may surprise you to find out that their website is offline.
Strange.
not surprising at all, actually.
Yeah. Not good.
But, yeah, I thought it was... very blind leading the blind, kind of.
Not a good look. Not a good look. Drug counselors winding up dead. On-field celebrations.
Ooh. The NFL is the not fun league anymore.
It's not the not fun league anymore.
Yeah, not fun league anymore. Commissioner Roger Goodell told that they're going to allow some touchdown dance after scoring celebrations, but because before, if you did anything too serious, you were fined or did a dance. So now it is, believe it is, allowing players once again to use the football as a prop.
Yep.
To celebrate.
You can use the football as a prop. You can go to the ground, which you couldn't do before. You can go to the ground and celebrate. Mm-hmm. You can make snow angels. You can celebrate with other people. You can have group celebrations.
You can't
keep it going all day long. What you can't do anything that's taunting your opponent. You can't flash gang signs. You can't mime weapons. And you can't do things like appearing to poo or give birth to the ball.
But who doesn't like a couple
anymore?
Dancy finger pistols?
No, dancy finger pistols.
I love me some dancy
this
finger
is 2017. Finger pistols are a weapon
loaded.
Now.
I think you could get away with the finger pistol, but anything
you do that now in elementary school,
I know
you're kicked out.
I know.
So, all right, last one. Let me give you. This is a big story. St. Paul's boarding school.
That was a big school. That was a big story.
It was. It's actually been in the news recently, but most recently as this weekend.
On a related note, I have to say, for those of you who are watching The Keepers and have known me for a long time, no, I did not kill Sister Catherine. I was not involved with her murder. I was an infant at the time.
St. Paul's boarding school.
St. Paul's boarding school.
And that's not...
I'll tell you it's in New Hampshire.
Oh, okay, it's in New Hampshire. I was going to say that's not the school in Hingham.
Former student has accused teachers of molestation.
Yes.
Two teachers, I believe, are involved in this.
This is a huge investigation. Most recent, this was Monday. On Monday, St. Paul's, a prominent boarding school in New Hampshire, released the results of an independent investigation accusing more than a dozen, it's actually more than 12 former staff members of sexually abusing or misconduct with students. Last year, it came out that former St. Paul's teacher from the 60s allegedly sexually abused children at the new job at a different school. So this is a story that came out last year from Spotlight in the Boston Globe, and they were looking at I think it's Chode, Rosemary Hall, Phillips Exeter was involved in it. St. Paul is the latest school to be involved in it. Basically, you had teachers that were all swapped out in between in the 50s, 60s, into the 80s. Not good.
Well, that was back when sex with students was a perk of the job.
Apparently. You didn't say enough confessions, you got moved to another school.
No, you got caught, you got moved to another school.
God, it is so funny. Oh, God, you shouldn't say funny when talking about molestation. But it's just interesting that I feel like the vetting process has not been improved at all in that regard. I mean, I remember when we were teenagers, or even before when we were kids, was when the whole Mary Kay Letourneau thing was happening. And
yeah, if you want a good read, look up the story that Spotlight did last year. It is a phenomenal piece. I remember when it first came out, I posted it on Facebook. It just shows you the amount of research, and that what Spotlight does is very, very good journalism.
Oh my God, Lisa, you're calling something good journalism, my dear.
And it's a Boston publication. Strange.
Right? My brain's exploding.
Not everybody.
Okay, New Hampshire fire.
No, that happened a couple weeks ago. In Portsmouth, there was a fire.
No, this was Monday.
Monday.
Derek, do you know? I don't know.
Fire in New...
Another hint. It's affected purchases I've tried to make in the past 2 days.
Yeah.
One of Derek's firework sellers go up in flames?
No.
A purchase you tried to make in the past couple days.
What do I like to buy?
Wait, I thought it was a...
Weed.
You don't use meth.
Weed. A weed farm.
Authorities responding to a fire at a New Hampshire home say they found a significant marijuana growing operation and later arrested a resident who had called 911 on their fire and fled. Police said...
Save the plants, man.
Police said they arrested 37-year-old Jonah Couturier of Seabrook on a marijuana possession charge following the fire early Monday. They say they seized more than 70 pounds of marijuana, as well as some...
Personal use.
Oh, yeah. As well as some LSD, heroin, fentanyl, and other drugs. It wasn't immediately known if he had a lawyer. Police say an attached garage had been converted into a quote-unquote growing room for marijuana that included storage for chemicals and other material. Police also found several firearms, including an Uzi, near windows and doors in every room of the home. It is thought to be one of the greater suppliers in the Northeast.
There was a...
Thus my problems with purchasing in the past 2 days.
Oh, I thought this was in Boston. Nope, this was in Minneapolis. Somebody donated some clothes at a thrift store in Minneapolis, and among the clothes were 100 grams of marijuana in little plastic baggies. Each baggie had 1 gram.
I gotta open a second hand store.
That's I thought it was here, but no, it was
everybody just rushes to Salvation Army now.
All the fun stuff.
I totally need tweed plaid pants.
Botulism.
Stop talking about women in Beverly Hills, Derek.
Yeah, that's what I would assume it would be about. Botched surgeries.
No.
Or Botox.
Botulism.
Botulism.
Botox is botulism.
Botulism. I don't know.
Martin Galrito Larias Jr., a father of two, died after contracting botulism from gas station nachos.
I would say the nachos.
At the Valley Oak Food and Fuel in Walnut Grove. Now, he's not the only one that got the botulism from these. There are other 9 people who have been hospitalized, at least one of whom is paralyzed but is expected to recover. So 10 people infected with botulism from gas station nachos. What is the lesson here, kids?
Don't get gas.
You know what you get at the gas station? Gas. Don't get the wings.
And cigarettes.
Don't
Shame
get the sushi.
On you, because you've don't eaten 7-Eleven pizza before.
7-Eleven is a different story.
What if it was attached to a gas station?
If it's a 7-Eleven,
but it's still a 7-Eleven franchise.
If it's a 7-Eleven gas station, that's one thing, because 7-Eleven is actually set up to do this. 7-Eleven has been serving perishable food for decades, okay? They've given us the Slurpee. They have the knockoff Dunkin' Donuts. They've had taquitos and hot dogs forever, okay?
That constant spinning on the griddle is just burning off the botulism.
I'm still not eating the sushi at 7-Eleven.
After I couldn't say that tongue twister, you could say burning off the botulism. That was very impressive.
I can't say anything, and I don't know how I got that one.
I won't even eat supermarket sushi, all right? So I don't eat the nachos at the gas station.
But maybe just don't eat nachos that don't have actual cheese on top. I think that's a decent rule of thumb.
But here's the thing.
See, and I feel like the only drunk people are getting those, and that may be not a huge seller because it involves you having to actually pump and do work. I want something quick. Just hand me one of those hot dogs. Hand me a sausage. We're good.
Do not eat the gas station nachos. This is the point that I'm making.
I had Taco Bell chicken, I don't even know what they were called last night. They were
taquitos.
Shaped like tortilla chips.
The worst thing.
And they give you dip.
The worst thing you're going to get at Taco Bell is Listeria.
Sorry, guys. Lisa has botulism.
I have a stomach of steel.
Yeah, the worst thing you're going to get there is like Listeria or E. coli. You're young and healthy. That's fine.
The worst thing you're going to get there is E. coli.
Keep an eye on this story out of California, because there's been a recall of cheese and all this other stuff is going on. Botulism does not just show up in one batch of nachos. Somebody may have put botulism into the nacho cheese.
Well, high five for Shay leaving California just in time.
And that is a very, very big story if that's true. It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. We're going to be with you until 9 o'clock tonight. And then on the towel, Mikey D is here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636 is the phone number. Donald Trump took the wraps off his budget yesterday. It's more frightening than ISIS. We'll get into that right after this salute to the class of 2017 from WMFO Medford.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly. Get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund. Maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. You never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, on the sunscreen.
Hi, this is James Brown, Soul Brother number one. Always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
1 second I'm having a smoke. Next thing I know, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous and you're not. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
WMFO Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Shay Spillane and Derek Gary here with you every Wednesday night. 615-915-9636. Do not call the old number. We will not pick up, but
please
we will pick up 855-915-9636. This is The Big Picture and here with you every Wednesday night. Here with you till 9 o'clock. And, of course, we never talk enough about Donald Trump.
Oh, no.
There is a new budget because we need some budgeting here in this country. We're going to explain to you what that entails and give you the overview. The president of our United States basically proposes cutting $3.6 trillion, that's T, trillion with a T, $3.6 trillion from spending and finding $2 trillion in extra revenue because he says the economy will grow, thus eliminating a total of $5.6 trillion from the deficit. How does this work? Why is there a possibility? Everybody here in this room, we all have confused looks on our faces.
Well, what I would like to know is just how did he build a safe, secure enough to hold his magic wand that's going to accomplish all
He borrowed it from Harry Potter. When Harry on the last movie broke it.
Government-y
Trump
fixes.
Was on the bottom and catching it and putting it back together. If you look in the, so this was presented in this nice little binder folder of information. You get past, you know, the first few pages of nonsense. what you
Jibber-jabber.
Have, one of the first ones in this is a economic assumptions, that's what it's called. Now, there is a line, so it's gross domestic product, GDP. And a couple down, there's a line for GDP growth, which was at 1.6% last year. Donald Trump says that it is going to rise to 3% by 2021, and it's going to stay there. This is just conceptual assumptions.
What it's actually a historic average, and it's below the historic average for GDP growth and a healthy economy.
And everybody knows, and we talk about it on this show, we have not grown the economy much, nor have we raised interest rates in how many years we rounded
up? No, they're going up again.
A little
bit. We've at least made some progress on that front. But baseline economic growth in a healthy economy should be 3.2% to 3.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is healthy, sustainable, average year-over-year economic growth. All economists will agree with you on this.
Yeah, that's
what a healthy economy does.
You know, GDP growth will provide new revenues to fill in the gaps with these new cuts. And because businesses will be selling more products and workers are making more, that will essentially drive up the economy. This is what the federal government is saying. to us to explain how this is going to get there. But getting to this new level of growth, it require a new stimulus. So that one,
which is coming from where?
$1 trillion in stimulus. And this is what we elected him to do, by the way. This is why Wall Street loves this guy so much. He wants to put $1 trillion into the infrastructure of the United States of America. It's a good start. Half of our bridges will still be falling down instead of all of our bridges. But at least it's a start toward fixing problems that have been ignored for the last 30 years.
Okay, cute. But, okay, my cousin's getting married in less than a month, and I'm a bridesmaid. I'd like to lose 30 pounds by then. I can say that till I'm blue in the face, but what really matters is how I'd be able to do it. And that is the issue at hand.
The infrastructure, you can bond a good portion of that, and they probably will bond a good portion of that. Because that's infrastructure investments.
He's talking about getting rid of, he's saying that he can not only stimulate our economy, also get rid of our national debt, also produce jobs, increase revenue, all of these things. This is just like during his campaign and just like during his first several months as president, where he says all these really sweet, awesome, this sounds good things without very much backing up. Where is this $1 trillion coming from?
No,
there was a mistake in the budget when it was first released in the first place.
Summarize it again. So budget deficit will be closed at $3.6 billion in spending cuts and $2 trillion in economic growth. The growth will then be delivered by this new policy that is being rolled out.
But, where does this growth come from?
There is a giant $2 trillion assumption that is made in this budget.
That's what I'm saying. Is that, like I said, it's like me wanting to lose 30 pounds in a month. Yeah, that sounds awesome. That sounds great. That'd be fantastic. But how is it going to happen?
The next step is, they're saying, has to do with the tax code, which is a few pages after, talking about GDP. And it says, quote, in the report, the budget assumes deficit-neutral tax reform, which the administration will work closely with Congress to enact. First of all, you know nothing's going through Congress. But for anybody not familiar with the term deficit-neutral, it means that these tax cuts, when enacted, won't reduce the amount of revenue received from the government.
I'm good with this. They're going to have three. Yes. They're going to cut it down to three tax rates from seven. 10%, 25%, 35%.
Which we have said is good.
Good with it. They're going to throw out a whole bunch of tax breaks for everybody. So not just the rich. Everybody is going to have their tax breaks go away. Mm-hmm. Again, you know what?
Again, how?
Fine. Throw out the tax breaks.
No, I mean, one way you could do it is, you know, tax revenue could be the same overall, and basically you're spreading the burden amongst many people, but also increasing the number of people paying. So it's not you're reducing it, but you're increasing the amount of people that are paying.
But the people who are paying can't afford to pay. What they're going to do...
But in conjunction with that, you need to close loopholes, which is huge loss of money. I think everybody understand that.
It's a huge loss of tax revenue to the federal government. So the only thing that really should be sacred is the mortgage interest deduction, and they've more or less said that it will be. Assume that any other tax breaks that currently exist are potentially on the chopping block. That includes child care credits, that includes earned income credit, that includes alternative minimum tax. All these things are going to be thrown out.
But that's what I'm saying, is that it's a matter of saying things that are going to, this is going to make our government's budget better. This is going to make the amount of money our government, our country has better. The individual is going to suffer as a result. There's no way around the fact that the average person is not going to be able to. I mean, there are so many people, and I'm not trying to say, people who have kids in order for the tax break, they should be getting a break. But at the same time, there are people who honestly need these tax breaks that are going to be taken away, and the rich people who don't, who are going to be able to get away with, get by without them.
Here's where you're wrong. That is as narrow a view of this as is the assumption that the Trump administration has made that $2 trillion of growth is going to magically appear. Mm-hmm. Okay? Both sides are wrong.
Well,
is what I'm coming back to.
You have to lower yourself to the level able to make an equal argument.
You are not necessarily going to see that level of suffering if you have concurrent growth in employment. Okay,
yes,
if people who are on social programs,
where is this growth in employment coming from?
Where is essentially this, what where they're is saying is if you are going, if you are reducing tax rates, is going to propel the economy. So you're going to be spending more. Therefore, the more you spend, tax money.
I can answer that question. Where do you think the $1 trillion that they're going to spend on infrastructure goes? Goes to hire Americans to complete infrastructure projects.
Again,
this is the New Deal. Part two. This is
essentially
the New Deal two. Electric boogaloo. We're going to build highways. We're going to build bridges. We're going to build dams. We're going to put America back to work.
Again, though, that's all well and good while you're saying it. It's all well and good to be like, oh, I'm going to do this. Like, this sounds really great. Oh, I'm going to build a wall. Oh, I'm going to... It's all well and good. You can say all you want. But at the end of the day, the Make America Great Again hats were still made in China. Like, there's lots of things that someone can say to quiet everybody down with people who are actually intellectual looking at this being like, wait a second, but how... This doesn't seem like something that's going to benefit you, and I see that you like doing things that benefit you. Therefore, how can any of this be true?
The $1 trillion is going to hire Americans to rebuild our infrastructure.
Okay, well,
and to hire American companies to rebuild our. We're not
so
going to go.
You can't deny that.
We're not going to outsource those jobs. There are America First provisions tied into all of this.
You can't not like that idea.
You can't even use Warren Steele.
It's a wonderful idea. It was also a wonderful idea
to hire Americans, put them back.
No,
into
I just said
jobs,
it's a wonderful idea. It's also a wonderful idea to drain the swamp, but I haven't watched that happen yet.
But what that does is hiring more Americans not only increases our infrastructure, but it puts more money into the economy. It puts more money into Americans' hands to spend. In turn, they spend it more taxes.
Oh. Absolutely.
The
that
only problem that I have
really
with this,
great, just like socialism does when you read Karl Marx's book, but in execution, I'm really interested to see how it goes.
I don't disagree with that point, but just to the broad question of how does it work? It works by we're gonna take away everybody's benefits. And we're gonna go make them build highways. That's what the plan is. Okay.
That's what again. That sounds like a really cute plan. But I also have to point out the fact that, okay, we're going to give all these Americans that don't have jobs, we're going to give them jobs, which I'm sure they're going to be super inspired to do after we take away all of the government benefits that they've been enjoying for the past several years.
Basically, you're not going to have a choice. It's going to be go dig a ditch or starve, which is the same thing that FDR did back in the 1940s. And that's what got us out of that in a war, got us out of the Great Depression.
I really don't like you comparing Trump.
Would you like
FDR.
Something or would you like nothing? That's the options that's, here.
Oh yes, and but
so what do you? Maybe
call
you
me crazy, but I
people
trust
are
FDR
not
a
going
little
to,
more than Trump.
People are not going to stomp their feet and say, "Well, I'm not getting what I want, so I'm not going to go to work and I'm going to starve to death." And I'm going to
have you met
the people? The people who don't want to work can sell heroin to the people who are digging the ditches.
Precisely my point.
There will be a certain percentage of
there will be
of
people that will be angry about
course,
this and will say, no, screw you.
I'm not naive. This is America.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to work for a living. I want to sell drugs.
This is the land of screw you. I want money.
$639 billion goes to the military. Again, every Republican does this. Okay. Democrats, they give money to social programs that go out and hire lots of low-paid social workers, and they throw money at schools that hire low-paid teacher assistants, and they say, look, we got all these people working again. Look at all the jobs. And it's really like government jobs that disappear as soon as the funding dries up. Republicans give a lot of money to the military. The military goes out, and they give it to people like...
Rambo? G.I. Joe?
Well, Blackwater. Blackwater gets it, and Raytheon gets it, and IBM gets it, and Lockheed Martin gets it, and Boeing gets it, and they develop technology, and they hire people, and theoretically that technology then gets repurposed somewhere down the road into consumer products, creates more jobs. If you got a Roomba, remember the fact that Roomba was partially subsidized by the federal government.
Again, my favorite part of that entire thought was the term theoretically.
No, but here's my problem with it. If you're going to count on tax cuts generating $2 trillion in extra revenues to compensate
for... No, they don't. You lose $2 trillion with the tax cuts.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying.
You get the $2 trillion back in growth, which may or may not happen.
But you're you're getting rid of $2 trillion, but then also anticipating on the $2 trillion trying to cover the deficit. It's essentially having $2 trillion do two jobs at once.
We got nukes. I think we should just say we're not paying the deficit.
Are we?
It's like stealing.
This is North Korea's position.
It's like stealing someone's lunch money and having your only reason to legitimize it is my fist is bigger than yours.
Get Duterte in here. That guy knows how to handle a crisis.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is a country where we can kind of compensate a little bit for it, considering we can raise.
Here's the basic fundamental problem with this, other than all of the stupid things that are in this budget. Like cutting farm subsidies and raising fees on farmers.
That's how we get food.
I'm fine, by the way, with taking 30% away from the EPA. I think we'd take 100% away from the EPA and nothing of value would be lost because everything that they do, other federal agencies can do better. I'm kind of okay with cutting Medicaid disability, but I'd want to know how that was going to be done because that got expanded well beyond its parameters and maybe too far. I don't know. Because everybody can point to somebody who absolutely desperately needs to be on that, but I'm sure we could also point to people who are not as needy. The central problem here is that this is actually a $3 trillion deficit that Donald Trump is creating. You have the $2 billion loss in tax revenue, and then you have the $1 trillion that you were going to invest in infrastructure. So we're taking $3 trillion out, but we only have $2 trillion in growth.
So we're leaving another trillion.
And it's a theoretical
$1 trillion missing trillion. Here, kids.
But that's also anticipating that the economy is going to continue to rise, if not stay.
But when has anticipating anything been helpful for us?
That's what. That's a fault of it.
Oh, I thought you were.
It's.
I'm sorry. I'm just used to arguing.
Basing this off of wishful thinking and hopes.
True.
Hopefully, Congress can sort this out. I will tell you, I am not at all optimistic that happens because they don't seem to know what they're doing either. But hey, a man can dream.
Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dreams.
And it's hot. What the
hell? You better believe it.
Fired.
It's what is hot, not... I don't even know where that came from.
All right,
I've never heard that news. Anyways,
chop.
A couple weeks ago, I told you about the new Polar Seltzer beverage flavors, which I'm super excited about. If you go to bostonmagazine.com today, go under their restaurants under blog, you are going to find all the restaurants and bars in the Boston area that are creating cocktails and ice cream or food things with these flavors. So one example, I know, really, really cool. You can go to Viale in Cambridge, and they are using one of their mixed drinks, the raspberry rosé, in one of their cocktails. And then they have a pineapple passion, mango berry. You can go to Parlor Ice Cream, and they created all flavors with these. So really cool cross-promotion with a local or two local businesses. But one of my favorite things, the Polar Seltzer flavors.
Yes, definitely. Oh, I'm going to have to check that out. For me, I've missed, as some of you know, I lived in Somerville for a good spell. Don't tell my Quincy friends. But in looking into that, I found out there is a Somerville walking tour that's called Experience Boston Like a Local. Shows you how the city once dubbed Slummerville.
Do they give you a 40 and a shot of heroin?
Right.
Probably.
They tie the 40 to your hands and you can't go pee until you finish.
Well, they talk about how the area was once called Slummerville and is now turned into one of the most trendy and gentrified neighborhoods of Boston. And it's the guide will be somebody taking you on a journey through Somerville, through the tough parts and talking about growing up and then weaving in personal stories as he's watched the city grow. And it's $25 a person every Saturday and Sunday. I would not recommend this weekend due to the rain, but it does seem like a cool idea for to have an interesting date with somebody or cool excursion for your parents who are visiting, being like, what is this kid spending all their money on? Where are they spending it? Because Somerville, for most hipsters is the answer. But if you want more information, go to townytoursboston.com. I highly recommend it. It sounds cool.
Janelle Shane is a research scientist who works for PPG, a chemical industrial firm. And she created an algorithm. Everybody's doing that these days. It's the hot thing for the kids to do. But she created an algorithm that could analyze the Sherwin-Williams paint selection, color selection, mm-hmm. and create new colors.
Oh, dope.
And it's actually started producing some actual new colors that Sherwin-Williams doesn't do, that no one's ever seen before. Still needs a little bit of work on the names.
I would say I can see classy from over
here. Yeah, my first sunburn of the
gray.
Year looks like the whole gray. Red section of the yeah. Sherwin-Williams paint colors.
Here's a few of the colors that it came up with. Herky White is one of them. maybe you prefer Burf Pink. Burf Pink.
Oh, that sounds hospitally.
This is actually a shade of beige that's called Rose Hork. I don't know what that means. Gleepy Blue, that's an option that you can have. There is Push Gray, which is seemingly more green.
That's why it's Psh Gray.
Hemaggable Beige 86.3 is one of them. There's a shade of gray called Classy, a shade of beige called Nicest, and a kind of off-white called Fan Thrash. So a little bit of work needs to be done with the names on these things, but new colors. And by the way,
Homestar Brown.
Homestar Brown. I everybody, come on, Fahuwa gods, let's get the Homestar Brown.
Interesting.
According to the woman that wrote this algorithm, if you gave it all the Pantone colors or you gave it all of another company's colors, it would analyze those and create unique colors based on that palette.
So we can't mess with the ridiculous color names that this computer program
Crayola
has come
is
up
so
with.
Angry exactly. right now, and they're just
Crayola
like,
is
all we can
over.
Think of is Robin's Egg Blue and...
Or Kraft Mac and Cheese
We could
yellow.
Have Homestar Brown or Bagel Tire.
But this is interesting. Your next home color could have been designed by a machine.
We end the show every week. That's the thing that happened. The craziest story from this week's news. Sex in Mississippi. Two women and a man are facing indecent exposure charges after they were caught engaging in a threesome in broad daylight on the deck of a Mississippi restaurant, police report. The owner of Triple D's Landing in Kiln, Mississippi, called police Wednesday after discovering the trio having sex on the eatery's deck, which overlooks a small river. The restaurant was closed at the time of the incident. In an interview with the Sun-Herald newspaper, local sheriff said that the trio engaged in sexual activity, quote, in the middle of the day, in broad daylight, in front of God, in front of everybody. I hate to tell Mama and Daddy I got arrested for such a thing. Upon arriving at Triple D's, the sheriff deputy spotted a man and two women having sex. Investigated subsequently arrested Amy Hammers, Tiffany Thurbido, and Texan Brandon Mulberry for indecent exposure. The trio, co-workers at the ADT Security Services, was booked into the Hancock County Jail on the misdemeanor charge. All of them were later released on bond. Don't have sex on the patio in the day.
For so many reasons.
Don't have sex with your co-workers.
Yeah. Yikes. My thing that happened, a famous South African big game hunter has died after being crushed by an elephant that had been shot down during a hunt in Zimbabwe. According to South African media reports, Thunis Botha, 51, was leading an afternoon hunt at Good Luck Farm Friday when the group stumbled upon a herd of elephants. The encounter apparently spooked the animals and several elephants charged the hunters. Caught by surprise, Botha opened fire, but one of the elephants got close enough to lift him with her trunk. Another hunter then shot the elephant, causing her to collapse on Botha, killing him. Simukai Nyasha, a spokesman for the Zimbabwe National Parks and Wildlife Management Authority, told the Associated Press that Botha was on a 10-day licensed hunt at the park, which is the same place where Walter Palmer, an American dentist, shot and killed Cecile the Lion in 2015. All I have to say about that is karma, thy name is bitch.
Florida. According to St. Petersburg cops, Marianne Bromley and David Wheeler were, quote, having sexual intercourse, end quote, outside the offices of St. Pete Modern Dentistry around 7:15 p.m. The front steps of the building, a police report notes, are within full view of the public and anybody passing by. Bromley and Wheeler, an arrest affidavit notes, were not initially deterred by the arrival of Officer Jonathan Reeves. Quote, the intercourse continued in the presence of law enforcement, Reeves reported. Pictured above, Bromley and Weaver were subsequently separated and charged with lewd and lascivious behavior.